Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Well, where do you go when you want to tell people the story of salvation? Paul had a ready answer. You go to a synagogue. You go to a place where the Jewish people are gathering together, and you say the promises that God had made to us, that he was going to be with us, and that he was going to guide us and watch over us and bless us, have now been fulfilled in Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the one whom God sent not only to restore our land, but to restore our eternal relationship with God. Well, what do? When you come to a place where there isn't even a synagogue, somehow or other, Paul knew that there were people who gathered together, sounds like mainly if not solely women, who were gathering down by the river near the city of Philippi. Now Philippi, named after Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. He was the one who started the great Greek Empire that ended up sweeping all the way into the east, and Alexander would take land all the way to the border of India, where his soldiers finally said, "We're going home, go further if you want to. We've had it. We've been away long enough." And so many cities named after Alexandria had been there. But in more recent times, as the Roman Empire had become great and had taken over even in some of the former Greek lands, what the Roman Empire emperors did and the Roman leaders, they said, "When we retire you, you soldiers, we're going to put you in various places within the Roman Empire. So if there is any trouble, we will have a force there to help us. Even if you're too old to be in the regular army, you can still be there." And so this is a Roman colony in Macedonia, which is the northern part of Greece. Now, Paul had been in Asia Minor. Aren't you just enjoying this geography lesson? Paul had been in Asia Minor, which is western Turkey. That's where probably the most well-known city to us is Ephesus. Laodicea is there. Colossae is there, and various other places. And Paul had been gradually working his way around the western part of Turkey, and all of a sudden he sees a vision. Come to Europe. They wouldn't have called it quite that, quite there. Come over to Europe. Come beyond what we later know as Constantinople or Istanbul, Byzantium. Come over and tell us the story as well. And we find that the story in the book of Acts is really the story of the Holy Spirit of God, saying, "I'm going to open new places for you to go and tell that story of salvation. And I will open the hearts of the people to hear the message. I will touch their heart so that when they hear the story, they will be moved to confess that they too believe that Christ is their Savior. And so, not knowing exactly where they were going or what was going to happen, Paul makes his way all the way to Philippi. I mentioned this briefly last Sunday in the sermon. Not long after this, he will be put in jail there in Philippi and will also tell the story to the jailer, and he also will be baptized. But gradually, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and now to the ends of the earth, Paul will get as far as into Greece, and later, of course, when he gets arrested, he will plead his case before Caesar and will be taken all the way to Rome, which, of course, all roads lead to Rome and all roads lead out from Rome, and so the gospel could go from there into the whole world. So the Holy Spirit is directing traffic. The Holy Spirit is opening hearts. How many times have you in your life said, well, they're not interested in church? Just think about it. People where we say, people have made their mind up, and they've decided what they're going to do, so they are what they are, and just leave them alone. I often used to say that the most important people to visit were the oldest delinquents in a congregation, the ones who weren't coming to church, because they're nearer their Lord. Go tell them the story of salvation. And there have been some beautiful stories of people who have heard the gospel after they've been rejecting it for a long time and were touched and were moved to confess their faith. Some of them just never had heard it before. Some of them had heard it and had said no to it. And I've had in my own ministry opportunities to be able to watch people, senior citizens as well, be able to be touched with that message of salvation. There is a nice letter opener on my desk. It was given to me by a lady and her husband in Michigan. And her name was June. Her mother had never gone to church. Never gone to church. The reason was June's grandma had been forced to go to church as a child. And she said, I'm never going to force my daughter to go to church. So because June's great-grandma had said, you're going to church, June's grandma said, no, we're talking way back in the 1850s and 60s and 70s and 80s, in that whole time period. And so June's mother was in her early 80s. She was in a nursing home. And June said, would you go and visit with my mother, please? So I never saw the lady sitting up in a chair. She was bound to her bed. And we talked about the story of salvation, and she confessed her faith. She says, I believe that. Too bad she had lost a whole life of praising the Lord in the meantime. But I baptized her at age 82 in her bed in a nursing home. And that was the gift that they gave me. I keep that on my desk. Remind me a little bit about what ministry is. It's looking at people through the eyes of Christ and not through the eyes of what our logic would say. People can resist. They can say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to be a Christian. But we never know at what point the Holy Spirit will open someone's heart to say, this is good news. This is something that settles me deep in my heart. And so sometimes it's when we're infants, sometimes it's when we're middle-aged or growing up or older. Doesn't matter when the Holy Spirit opens our heart. So by the time we respond and say, Jesus is my Lord, the Spirit of God has already opened the heart. That's our ministry. That's what the Christian life is about, telling the story about Jesus and what he has done. When Paul talks about his life, he may talk about what he did as he learned to be a good Bible scholar and all of that, but he will also talk about, I got interrupted by God himself, who helped me to settle down and enjoy the story that I was saved and redeemed from the outside. It wasn't by what I did, but by what was done for me. And I'm kind of jealous because there are times when I have talked to people for a long, long time, or over many years, and they pretty much ho-hummed it all the way. But here, as Paul was initially telling that story, not only to Lydia and her family, but to the jailer at Philippi, that as he told that story, the Holy Spirit opened hearts to believe. Paul will have a different experience in Athens, where there are only two names of people who became Christian. Athens, where philosophy ruled the day and people thought they could figure things out by just thinking about them and making sense of it on their own. You might notice as you page through your Bible, there is no letter of St. Paul to the Athenians. Some people don't want to hear it. And there's not much we can do except to tell the story and let the Holy Spirit give the blessings. But here, Lydia says, let me take care of you. You guys came over here. Now remember, it was a man who said, come over to Macedonia and tell us a story. And that's the northern part of Greece. So the first ones who hear that are Lydia and her family and some of the other women there. And so they say, come on, you stay with us now. And so he's able to stay there and tell the story of salvation. And Paul, interestingly enough, went to big cities. Antioch was one of the largest four cities in the ancient world. And he went and told the story there. And he figures it can kind of spread out from that way, like waves that go forth when you put a drop, when you throw a stone in the water. And he says here, I'll stay there. And they stay with them, and they continue to tell the story. Not only to baptize, but also to make disciples, is what the Lord said, that we never get to the point where we have learned enough to accept the way in which the Lord guides us, to understand it better, to recognize what he would call us to lay aside. But when I read texts like this, it reminds me, don't give up on anybody, but keep your eyes and your ears and your heart and your hands open. It may be that there are people whom we will know for 25 or 30 years. Finally, all of a sudden, they will be touched and say, that's really good news. I never heard it that way before. And so our job is not just to be nice people, not just to do what's right. People in every country can do that. But to recognize that we are sinners, that on our own we would never come up with needing a Savior, and yet Paul, who heard it from Jesus himself and recognized he had been saved by Christ, then goes forth and spends his life telling that same story. It doesn't mean that we push on people. It doesn't mean that we just keep berating them and telling them what they have to be. But to find the times and the ways where we say to the Holy Spirit, open up a place in someone's heart for your story and let me be the one to tell them, because not everybody is going to hear it by being in a church. Some will hear it by a river, maybe even out of a fishing boat, maybe in a duck blind, maybe sitting next to someone at a ball game. It doesn't quite matter where, but the Holy Spirit says, look for the chances to love people I died for. That is why I gather you together, that you might celebrate your eternal life, and that there's room for everyone. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.